Around the NFL Podcast. Loves Justin Herbert's balls.
Welcome to another edition, my goodness, of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, coming to you from a virtual room filled with heroes. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Mondays with Wes, a holiday Monday with Wes.
Oh, yeah. Party time. Everybody in the pool.
I figured, with Labor Day, I would assume a lot of competing podcasts, they're in pools right now and at local parks playing Frisbee. Not this podcast. We are grinding, Sessler, and that's how we'll always be.
Well, it's, you know, and for those of us who are in Los Angeles, which is all of us, I lived here for 15 years and do not remember a stretch of days nearly this hot. I mean, it's like crushing heat, and I'm in a room right now where like the television in my room is sweating. I mean, it's unpleasant conditions.
All right, hang in there, Mark. There's a reason to be excited because football begins this week, and like we teased at the end of the Friday show, we have so much coming up, both individually and as a group. As a group, we got something very fun for the first time ever. On Wednesday, we will be holding a live Q&A and TNF preview on YouTube, on the official NFL handle of YouTube. Check out our Instagram handle at TheATNPodcast and on Twitter at Around the NFL for linkage. But that is coming up on Wednesday, in addition to, of course, today's show, which includes our iconic Go Get My Lunch season predictions segment. And then coming up on Thursday, we preview every single game to come in week one. Wes, you know, listen, it's been a fight for you, Wes. You have so much going on in your life, but how about football back? That's a nice thing, even in a heat wave.
Yeah, I like football in September, October. Not so much in May and June, but yeah, the calendar says it's time for football. So all of the hype that we've gone through the past few months out the window. Now we just play games.
And there was less of it. I mean, it was kind of nice. On some, it wasn't nice the reason why, but the reality that there was a little less hype feels like, okay, just the season's here. That's good.
All right.
Yeah, we have the commissioner's henchmen are about to take me out for that comment that we can't have the whole calendar.
That's been fun, Wes.
Yeah, you're done. Actually, I see someone at the door right now. All right. Go get my lunch coming up a little bit later. But first, we got to get caught up on all of the news, and there's lots of it. Let's do it, Ricky.
I will remember you.
On third down and 10, good protection here.
Will you remember me?
Galladay, what a start for Blau. Touchdown Detroit. Start for Blau. Touchdown, Detroit.
It's cut down. It was cut down weekend in the NFL. And Mark, I'm going to throw it to you right now. Obviously, a somber moment here. David Blau does not make the team in Detroit. A setback for Blauhard Nation, no doubt.
Well, it is a setback, but I mean, you know, we all go through chapters in our life that represent wins and losses. And I just think that the Blauhards, you know, I know a lot of these people personally. It's a resilient group, and David Blau is a resilient player. And it's not just like, what happened in Detroit is the end. It is the beginning of the rest of David Blau's life. And if you think the newsletters are going to stop, no, we're on issue 61. It's a 37-page hand-typed letter that I worked on over the weekend. I'm sending it out. They're just saying they're taking mailboxes away all over the place. I see one up my street, and that's still there. And so these newsletters are getting to the Blauhards. And we, you know what? Just like Adrian Peterson latched on somewhere else, I think the same is going to happen in David Blau when the bullets start flying and quarterbacks start going down. It's just the beginning.
Well, here's a lead for your next newsletter. He's on the Lions again already. He's on the practice squad. So, I mean, he's got a job. David Blau, it's not over. I mean, maybe that was the concern that you mentioned. You know, I know the post office is concerned with like a surge of potential mail in November. The Blau newsletter has not helped with that. It's just been a lot. It's been a lot for
that's
the post
office
to handle.
You're right. And the problem is when an update like that occurs, you know, and I've, this is a hand typed letter, I've got to go do the thing where you put like, you tape, you get a new little typewritten line and put it with a piece of tape over, you know, the existing newsletter. It's very old school, but it's for the real type of news junkies out there.
Well, you can always find a company and steal their mail. Oh, wait, you've already done that and got in trouble for it.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, let's be careful with the federal government, Mark. Yes, it's not the beginning of the end for David Blau. It's the end of the beginning. And it is the beginning of the Jadeveon Clowney era in Nashville. The defensive lineman signs on 1 year, $15 million contract. There's incentives in there, but he signs a deal that's not too bad considering how poorly his free agency hunt turned out over the past few months. And yes, Clowney to the Titans. Wes, that's something that you had connected the dots on, that always made sense. They certainly had the need there when Jarrell Casey was traded to Denver. What were your thoughts on what Clowney could bring to Tennessee?
Thank you. I believe I did have that all offseason. Clowney to the Titans. There's a connection with Mike Vrabel, who used to be with the defensive coaching staff in Houston when Clowney was there. So there's some familiarity. They needed edge rushers badly in Tennessee. We talked last week about how you can't expect the offense, even if they have really good players, to be at peak efficiency like they were the last 2 months of the season last year. So a lot of their improvement's going to have to come on defense, and they need impact players. We can get into Clowney sack totals in a little bit, but I think he is an impact player.
And then there's the other part of the story, Greg, which is really where it gets fun from a football insider perspective, is that the Saints wanted Clowney badly, but the Saints had an issue with their salary cap. They couldn't afford what Tennessee was willing to pay. So the Saints did a lot of work, and Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero worked together on building out the backstory. Do you want to explain it to the audience, Greg, so I don't have to?
Yeah, I don't even know if I totally understand it either. But basically, you know, they were going to make a trade in which now I'm blanking. You know, the mystery team, which supposedly was the Browns in the case of the Saints trade, was going to give Clowney a $5 million signing bonus and then trade him over to the Saints for a second round pick. So the Browns pay $5 million. The Saints pay the rest of Clowney's contract, which let's say it's a base salary, about $10 million. And then they get in at $15 million. The Browns will have paid $5 million. They get a second round pick from the Saints. The Saints pay $10 million. They're under the salary cap. Everyone's happy. It's a two-part trade. The NFL reportedly did not allow it. They didn't like what the look was in it. Now Pro Football Talk reports there was a whole other setup with the Jaguars, and where the Jaguars were going to get the pick and the Ravens were going to get Clowney. So they were working this on multiple fronts. I think the Saints one got further, at least from the sound of our reporters, Ian Rappaport, Tom Pelissero. I don't really understand why the NFL didn't allow it when I don't know if there's a clear rule against it. And so I don't blame the Browns and the Saints if they are upset that this did not happen for being upset, because I don't think the rules are that clear. And maybe they'll make them clear now that you can't do this. I mean, other sports do this all the time, and this would have just been like a two-part trade.
I mean, the deal a couple years ago where the Browns took a second-round pick from the Texans to take on Brock Osweiler's, you know, salary, and you can song and dance that and say that he was actually part of a competition. No one really bought it. I mean, that was essentially no less vague than this would have been.
It was two part. This one was two part, so it was a little different in that Clowney would have been traded literally the day after he signs with the Browns. You know, he's on the roster for 1 day, and it is different. But I don't love. I you know why squash creativity?
Why have a salary cap then?
Well, you could say that in any sport too. There are ways to work around it. In the NFL,
it's about fairness,
right?
It's about a slippery slope and making sure that in the NFL, the most egalitarian, the most socialist sport, that the rich teams aren't able to just open up their pocketbook and spend way more money.
But it's already like that. I guess that's where I have a, you say it's a sliding scale, and that is true, Wes. And I think that's the argument against it. But you also look at the way that the revenues that teams generate is a huge advantage, because teams like the Cowboys and Washington or whoever, they front load money all the time, where they're operating like money that they give to teams is way bigger than the small market teams. And that's a way that they take advantage and they push the cap stuff into the future of having more money. So it's something like lawyers are going to get involved with, I suspect.
Sounds fun. I was being a little bit of a Stinky Davis on Twitter last week, and I mentioned that, you know, simply Jadeveon Clowney had 3 sacks last year. And I know all you nerds out there, I understand you real tape dogs, Wes, I'm not talking about you, that tell us what a huge impact he has. But you're still getting a guy. If you think that he makes the Titans better, I agree. If you think he's the guy that's going to put him over the top, I don't know if we've seen that in his 6 or 7 years in the league to be able to make that comment.
Weak spot, though, for the Titans. That's the thing, is he's filling a huge weak spot. I don't think this move happens unless Vic Beasley has a disastrous camp where he shows up late. He hasn't been on the field. He's hurt. There's some questions about motivation. And now they're getting like another chance to get a pass rusher.
I fully expected Dan to have some fire breathing sack take. So I had Ricky cut this clip from Packers outside linebackers coach Mike Smith.
Wow.
Whoa.
I don't know what happened. A long time ago, somebody, you know, it's probably when I started recording sacks, or some, you know, fans, coaches, whoever it may be, defined a great pass rusher having a great season, or effective pass rusher off of sacks. And that's the one that I hate to use the word stupid, the stupidest things I've ever seen. When they're in the game, are they affecting the quarterback with the pressures? Because sacks are important. Don't get me wrong. People think I don't care about sacks. They just can't believe that. That's the only way to be successful, because you're going to have a disappointing room.
I think, I guess all reasonable minds here can agree that Clowney may not have the sack totals that you thought he would coming into the league. But Dan, you and I and Greg and Mark, we've all sat here on nationally televised games and watched him disrupt an offense, like single-handedly take an offense out of what it wants to do. And regardless of what the sack totals say at the end of the year, there aren't that many guys who can do that.
I mean, also, he goes to a Titans team that they were 11th in DVOA against the run last year. And I think the Clowney, and this isn't, you know, maybe the sexiest part of his game, but it's one of the more ferocious run stoppers in the AFC. And I can't wait to see what happens when it's Clowney versus Laremy Tunsil with Bill O'Brien on the other sideline, having to deal with the player that he moved out of Houston.
That's fun.
2 times a year.
But an answer to whoever that defensive coach was, who was it again?
Mike Smith. The other Mike Smith.
Mike Smith. Yeah, I guess my counter to that is, okay, yeah, that I get that, you know, sacks don't tell the whole story, but then why does Aaron Donald have 20 every year, and all the great guys on the defensive lines, they not only disrupt games, they also end up with double digit sacks year after year when they're
healthy. I think the answer would be like Aaron Donald can be just as good getting 10 sacks as he does getting 20 sacks, just based on beating double teams and causing disruption.
All right. But hey, Jadeveon Clowney, give me 10 sacks. That's never happened before.
Here's the question, Dan, I think Clowney needs to answer.
I'm stupid, Mike Smith. I'm sorry.
No, as he gets older, are we going to see Pete Clowney? Because, yeah, he took over a game or two last year. I'm thinking of that. I think it was the 49ers game he took over. But he's had these injuries that he plays through, and he's coming up not practicing in camp again, which has been a habit for him. He's had slow starts. He's a streaky player. And as you get older, you do worry about, okay, is he going to be able to do it week after week? And that's one of the reasons he didn't get the big contract he wanted.
I do
he
like
did get a big contract.
He's in another contract about. Here.
Here's what he got: a 1 year, $12 million contract. Vic Beasley got 1 for 9.5. Floyd from the Rams got 1 for 10 or 11. That's a massive disappointment for Clowney.
Clowney got 1 year, $15 million.
$12 million.
And he gets to go back on the market.
Reason incentives. I mean, that doesn't. A lot of people have incentives. He got 1 year, $12 million. It's a little better than Floyd and Beasley, but it's a disappointment for him. I think it's a good value for the Titans.
I mean, Clowney also gave up. There was reports that Cleveland offered him $18 million a year, and not just for 1 year, but over 2 or 3. So his own business handling is a little suspect this offseason.
All right, let's keep moving here. Mitchell Trubisky is the week one starter in Chicago. Adam Schefter was the first to report this. We'll see how long that lasts, Mark, because Nick Foles is in the building. He's got a guaranteed contract. He's Nick Foles. But why do you think they chose Trubisky?
Well, I mean, I don't think that we really got a chance to watch the only real quarterback battle around. take place the way that it would have in a normal season, where I think preseason games would have been watched closely and maybe really separated these two guys. The reports are that Trubisky, you know, played better in camp than some expected, that he wasn't a total disaster. Now, last year's camp was flooded with those reports that Trubisky was a hot mess. So I think that probably that, combined with the fact that your general manager and coach, you know, want to probably confirm their own bias that Mitchell Trubisky can be a starter. And, you know, that's fine. My problem is that you're still in a sticky situation with Nick Foles behind you, that you traded a fourth round compensatory pick and offered $21 million guaranteed to, who's now on the bench. And the minute that Trubisky struggles, which will be about 15 minutes into week one, like, it just creates a very uncomfortable situation for a player who I think has probably, you know, confidence wise, has been dealing with more than most young quarterbacks out there. Do I think he's the better quarterback? I don't know. My thing is this, like, Nick Foles is unreliable in terms of probably lasting 16 games, but he's still sitting there and they're going to want to see him the minute Mitch struggles.
I feel like this is kind of a non-story in a way, because it makes sense that the Bears would keep Trubisky as the starter. Yeah, didn't they decline his option? Yeah, they don't believe in him the way they don't think that he's going to be maybe the superstar that they hoped he was going to be. But also, you know what? Why not give him one last shot here? But on the terms of, it's probably going to be the shortest leash you've ever seen, as in come a week from today, head coach Matt Nagy announced that Nick Foles will be starting week two against the Giants. Like, that's the type of leash we're working with. And I fully expect us, just like I think everyone in this room, virtual room, feels that Nick Foles is probably playing by Halloween at the very latest.
They're opening against the Bears and the Packers, so they're two big division rivals right off the bat. I think their schedule of opposing defenses is overall very forgiving, especially after those first two games. So that might be a spot where Trubisky can't go 0-2 against their two biggest rivals. It's not surprising either that Foles didn't look great in camp. Supposedly neither of them looked great in camp, and so the tie went to Trubisky since he's been there. Eagles reporters always say Foles, for whatever reason, never really lit it up in camp either. He's lit it up in some games and he hasn't in others. Like, it's not that surprising that he didn't totally impress.
I think we see one of the reasons why they signed Foles, and I thought maybe it was because of familiarity, but just as much, it's about Trubisky can credibly beat Foles in a competition and he can't credibly beat Cam Newton in competition.
That's fair, Doug. That's fair.
Let's talk some money matters. The Texans get an important contract done, the most important contract. It's Deshaun Watson, who signs a four-year, $160 million deal, takes him through 2025, $111 million guaranteed. Get that bag. And this feels like, Wes, a best-case scenario for all parties. For Deshaun Watson, he gets paid a massive amount of money that sets him up for the next 10 lifetimes, and he gets another bite at the apple by the time he's 30. And then for the Texans and Bill O'Brien, you don't have this anvil hanging over your head that after the DeAndre Hopkins, the righteous anger about that trade, that they could somehow maybe, let's hypothetically say, have a really bad season and Deshaun Watson's unhappy and he's not under contract, and then you have a potential mess on your hands. This kind of calms things down in Houston, doesn't it?
Well, I think Watson is one of the biggest no-brainer guys to extend. I mean, what more do you want out of a guy from a face of the franchise perspective? And I immediately went back to one of my favorite football articles I've ever read was a 2014 interview with Steve Young in the San Francisco Chronicle. And he's just talking about running quarterbacks, paragraph and verse about how most quarterbacks in the NFL who run are dual threat quarterbacks. They can run outside the pocket and pick up yards with their legs, but they can also run outside the pocket to pass. And he was saying they can change the position forever. Quarterbacks can change the position forever when they become triple option. When you combine those first two things with exhausting the play from the pocket and staying in there. And I think about cornhole, Greg, when you first started and there was this stubbornness about picking up the spin, because you can do just fine. Like, you can stay competitive without picking up the spin. That's how running quarterbacks are coming into the NFL. They tread water. They stay alive by running their way out of trouble. And there's no urgency. Peyton Manning has to learn to win the play from the pocket. But Deshaun Watson did not have to learn to. He did that of his own volition. And good for him for doing that, putting in the time. I think he is a triple threat quarterback.
Mm. I mean, he can almost stay there too long. He is a little like me. I go with the backspin, you know, which is, it's almost like he's halfway there, which is a little bit like Russell Wilson, who I think is the best comparison for Watson. Because, man, he does stay in the pocket. You're right. He wins from the pocket. Sometimes he stays back there so long, you're like, all right, get rid of it. But the reason he can do that is because of one of those three options he has, which is at the very last minute, he can make one of those heartbreaking plays that beat the Bills last year where three guys are coming at him and he just makes magic. And you're right. He's put it all together. I loved watching the emotions from him and what it means for him and his family and how far he's come and what he's lost. And I don't know. There's not many guys you root for more than him. And it gives Billy B, I think, a little bit of security. I know he's always going to be on the hot seat, but he was heavily involved in the trade up for Deshaun Watson. And as long as that offense and Deshaun keeps playing well under Billy B, and there's really no reason to think it won't, like, that's going to help Billy B keep his job.
I'll never forget the first time we really saw Deshaun Watson, you know, thrive for the Texans was at Wes's house, and it was a Thursday night game against the Bengals. And by the end of that game, we're not big college football guys, but at the beginning was like, how is this going to work? And by the end, you just think of all the hideous quarterbacks that Bill O'Brien dealt with the Texans. I mean, just a laundry list of trash bags. And then you knew right then they have something. They have something for a long time going forward, and it's not changed since.
And maybe it's good for all of us to remember when, again, all that righteous anger, and it was deserved. The DeAndre Hopkins trade was terrible. But Their floor in Houston is always going to be higher than people realize it because Deshaun Watson is the quarterback. So in December, when we're trying to figure out who's going to win the AFC South, when the Texans are in the mix, like I expect them to be, it's going to be because of the guy behind center. Other business matters. Keenan Allen signed a 4-year extension with the Chargers that is worth more than $80 million per Rappaport. So they lock up their number one receiver, 28 years old, and Tyrod Taylor is going to need Keenan Allen to keep that offense moving. Also, Tre'Davious White, the cornerback of the Bills, gets 4 years, $70 million, $55 million guaranteed. And finally, the most underrated player on the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, Cam Hayward, he gets a 4-year, 71. This is all in the same ballpark. Interesting. 4-year, $71.4 million extension through 2024. Wes, the tape dog, Cam Hayward, what makes him so special and why does he help the Steelers the way he does?
Well, he's a good all-around end in a 3-4. I mean, he plays the run, occupies blockers, and gets after the passer. And when you do all-pro list every year, you pencil in Aaron Donald first, and then after that, there's a group of guys, and Cam Hayward is always in that group. Every year for the past 3-4 years, he's in that next group down as a guy who's an obvious Pro Bowler and might just be an All-Pro as well.
Hmm. Keenan Allen was a big contract for them. He's only 28 still somehow. He's been so productive. You think of him getting hurt a lot, but he's played 16 games 3 straight years. And that was a big offseason, big camp, I think, for Telesco. So much for the pandemic. Like, you know, chowderheads like me are like, well, in this pandemic and the salary cap's going down next year, not going to be a lot of big business. You know, you're not going to see these contracts. They're going to roll over to next year. And it's like, no, there was tons of huge contracts. They're not worried about next year. They're getting people signed. And the Chargers, especially getting Bosa and Keenan Allen signed, avoided some problems for next year.
Yeah, like, well, what if? Devil's advocate, what if all these teams are making massive mistakes?
These are unbelievable players.
My point being that it gets set at 175 and then the market gets flooded next year with all these veterans that no one would expect it to be on the free agent market. It actually sounds kind of fun, maybe not for them.
Well, that's interesting, but for me, there's a lot of Bills fans saying, well, this is what we couldn't do with Stephon Gilmore. He got away from us, and it shows that with White that this is a whole different type of deal. And it is. I mean, you want to see good teams. That was Sean McDermott's first draft pick. And it isn't just confirmation bias the same way, you know, with Mitchell Trubisky and other guys that, you know, don't deserve the third and fourth chance. I like the signing here because to me, it just shows that this organization is as stable as it's been since the 90s. And you're going to develop and keep talent. And bad teams don't. Bad teams draft poorly. And then when they hit on someone, they can't keep them around.
In other news, the Detroit Lions have added yet another running back to their stable. It's Adrian Peterson. You may have heard of that guy. No, not the defensive back that used to be on the Bears. That poor guy.
He was a running back.
Timing to be.
Well, there was a, there was a running back on the Bears, yeah.
From Georgia Southern.
Rough.
Yep. He messed up a lot of fantasy drafts, that Adrian Peterson.
Brutal timing. Brutal timing. In fact, the most egregious, like, lack of respect for friends, my cousin Eric once told me that he accidentally took the wrong Adrian Peterson first overall years ago, and they didn't let him change it. Think about
it. Time to find a new friend.
Get some new friends.
It's like someone who took the Lamar Jackson defensive back on the Jets. I feel bad for that Lamar Jackson because everyone like makes a joke every time he loses his job. It's like, okay, calm down.
There's a new AJ Green too.
Yeah, there was a Cam Newton who was a guard. I mean,
right,
stuff happens.
All right, Adrian Peterson signed a 1-year, $1 million contract with the Lions. Reunites Peterson with Darrell Bevell, the offensive coordinator. They're both together in Minnesota. A lot of guys in that backfield. You have Kerryon Johnson, the starter last year, rookie DeAndre Swift, Bo Scarborough, and now you have Adrian Peterson. My only thought on this one, Greg, is the bar is set very low for Peterson. You could even say he might just be a hold the fort guy until these other guys get healthy. But we'll see. Maybe he surprises us and gets more playing time in Detroit.
Well, to Wes's credit, who's never stopped flying that Peterson flag, Peterson ran really well last year. I mean, he's not a third down guy, but he was, I think, at least an average, probably better than average, just starting running back in terms of his pure running. And you're right, Scarborough is going to injured reserve for 3 or 4 weeks, and DeAndre Swift is banged up, so that's probably part of it. But it won't be surprising to me if, like, we get to December and Adrian Peterson is taking big carries in meaningful games for Mark Sessler's Detroit Lions.
Well, I mean, if you're Kerryon Johnson, if you're Kerryon Johnson, like, number one last year when he was the dude, like, Matt Patricia and no one inside the organization talked about Kerryon Johnson as the answer or bell cap.
He's never been healthy.
Yeah, but they also, then you go out and draft, like, DeAndre Swift. And I think that they're just, camp did not go right for them. They wanted Swift to be the dude, and he's, Mike Garofalo said that, you know, the knee issue that he has right now sets Adrian Peterson up for a really big week one workload. Hmm. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Darrell Bevell trusts him.
I thought it was interesting that the Chiefs wanted to reunite Peterson with Eric Bieniemy, but they didn't think with the Thursday night game there was enough time there to get him on the roster and get him ready to play by Thursday night.
In other news, Adrian Peterson's former team, the Washington football team, guess what? Alex Smith is on the roster. How about that? The veteran quarterback coming off 17 leg surgeries will open the season as a part of the quarterback's room in Washington. It is actually, you'll see this with the final cutdowns that happen all through the weekend. More teams are keeping three quarterbacks because of pandemic fears. Alex Smith, beyond that, had a ton of guaranteed money coming his way, but he'll be in there. Kyle Allen is the backup behind Dwayne Haskins, who was officially announced as the starter as expected. So just, obviously a great story, Wes. Alex Smith will be on a roster to start the season. Whether he plays or not, we'll see.
That we see every September, guys who make the final roster and then immediately get cut or re-signed after week one. And I always think at the time, you know, we make too big of a deal about the final roster, but I think there's a ritual to it in football circles. And for Alex Smith, what he's been through, credit alone just for making this roster. I mean, I don't even care what he goes on to do the rest of the year. Just the ritual nature of making surviving cuts in football, that's a big thing. And he did it. My hat's off to him. I know when you're going through something awful like this, working hard and keeping your mind active keeps you young and keeps your mind off of other things. And I think that's a lot of what drives him.
I mean, and think of the value he brings just being there. You're telling me that they're not like a better quarterback room with him there. I mean, having him there is going to should make Kyle Allen, Dwayne Haskins better. Should make a lot of people better. I mean, just to have that sort of example. And who knows? It would be fun if he plays, if it gets to that point. I mean, you're a little anxious about it, or I am. But if not, what Wes said is absolutely true. It's an amazing way. If this is how his career ends, it's kind of an amazing way that he did it on his own terms.
And on the subject of veteran quarterbacks, that can help teams in different ways. The Eagles signed Josh McCown to their practice squad. The oldest practice squad player in the history of the NFL at 41 years old. Again, this would not have happened if it weren't a pandemic year. They had to, they jumped up the practice squad this year from 10 to 16 players. And McCown will live in Texas, join the team in virtual meetings, and then serve as the emergency quarterback.
Yes!
If something bad happens. How about that, Mark? The 40-something bros out there have a reason to celebrate.
I love it, and I still believe strongly that he will start a game this year and have to be, you know, shipped in from Texas.
That wouldn't be good out there. That would be good. He's making $12K a week. So the new practice squad, you're making $12,000 a week. He's just showing up to Zoom. He's still like coaching his kids in football. It's a pretty good deal to be able to swing.
Nice little passive income there.
It's got to be nice for all you old guys born in the 70s to have another 70s guy still hanging around.
It is so nice. God, I remember when I first moved out to LA and Josh McCown was coaching high school football. Way back then, like 7-8 years ago, and now he's not even retired yet.
He hadn't even been your Making the Leap candidate yet at that point, Wes.
What a weird career.
In other news, speaking of weird career, Josh Rosen is on the street. In 2018, he was the 10th overall pick in the NFL draft by the Arizona Cardinals. They traded him after 1 year to the Miami Dolphins. And this, I kind of forgot about this part, Greg, that the Dolphins gave up a second-round pick and a fifth rounder to get Josh Rosen. They give him three starts. He makes about 100 pass attempts. And then they say, we're done with him too. So at some point, you know, I know everyone seems to be, woe is Josh. And, you know, he's never had a chance. But I don't know. He probably could have flashed. He probably had an opportunity last year to keep himself in the mix in Miami. And it, even if it was a small sample size, it was a chance. And now he's on the street.
Well, the Dolphins told you what they think of him. I mean, they think he has no value. They think he has no future potential to be Tua's backup. Or there's other reasons why they just feel more comfortable with him not there anyways. Obviously, you want the roster spot, but he still was under contract for a couple more years. As you said, they sunk that draft pick, and Dolphins fans will come at you. Well, they had moved down in the second round before they did it, and you know what? I don't think it was a bad trade. I think it was worth taking a swing. I always say that. Keep taking swings at quarterback until you get one, and if you're going to miss, it doesn't matter. It's worth it. They're going to miss plenty of these draft picks that they made, and they apparently missed on Rosen. But it's pretty telling that they think he has that little value that they don't even want to keep him on their 53-man roster. He supposedly had some active offers, but he's joining the Bucks, where Byron Leftwich is, who really stuck up for him after their year in Arizona together. And so that to me is, it's not about Tom Brady. It's about the relationship, I think, between Byron Leftwich, the coordinator there, and Josh Rosen. And Rosen really seeing that situation as, if I'm going to be saved, it's by this guy as a coach, and obviously Bruce Arians too.
I'm with Dan on this though, because you look at like someone like Steve Keim, who was, you know, Q rating, you know, not high for Steve Keim back when he even took Josh Rosen. He had some issues off the field himself, but he was convinced by, you know, QB guru Cliff Kingsbury to eat the L on the Josh Rosen draft pick, move him, and then draft an entirely different quarterback. Cliff Kingsbury didn't believe in Josh Rosen. Steve Keim was willing to go there. Now a second front office and coaching staff feel the same way. At some point, and it's easy to feel bad for the circumstances he's been in, but at some point, Josh Rosen, a top 10 pick at the quarterback position, is going to have to prove to someone that he has what it takes to survive in the NFL.
It's unprecedented. I mean, if he doesn't, it's unprecedented. There have been no top 10 quarterback, really no first round quarterbacks with this that happened to them in their first 2 years. It's just never ever happened.
Speaking of weird stuff, Wes, how about this one? The Dolphins acquire running back Lynn Bowden and a 2021 sixth round pick from the Raiders in exchange for a 2021 fourth round pick. Okay, so two things here. Number one, the Raiders get back a draft pick that they had already sent to the team. And also, Lynn Bowden is a rookie. He got traded before his rookie season.
A third-round pick. I mean, that is...
Pick 80. It's not like one of those weird compensatory where it's like 102 or something. Like, no, it's like pick 80.
All we ever hear if you read people leading up to a draft is, oh, everybody talks about the first round, but the second and third round, that's where true champions are built. Well, what are you doing over there in Vegas?
Well, I mean, so they had him at running back, but Miami's going to make him a wide receiver, which I think they view to be, you know, where the more upside is. And, you know, the Athletic reported that Bowden did not have a good camp, and that there was this line from our friend Vic Tafer, I believe. I still don't know how we're saying that
name.
That's right.
But
Vic Tafer said that some inside the building thought he was more concerned with picking up new cars than a playbook. So, it's a loss for the Raiders, the Raiders, like, basically are saying, we don't want certain types of players in our building necessarily. And so you got value back to some degree.
Yeah, that was a project pick to begin with. When you're taking a guy who played quarterbacking, you assume you can just switch. He has enough talent where you can just put him at running back or receiver. They had him at running back, like Mark said. And Vic Tafer wasn't the only one who said he had a bad camp. Just about everyone who
went. Well, yeah. The trade said so. I mean, they dumped him. I also don't want to hear, well, they got something back. Okay, you didn't get a pick back. You got a pick swap. You got a day three pick swap from round 4 to 6. You didn't get an extra player. You're moving up 60 spots on the third day of the draft, you know, when they've got, you know, people interviewing fans out in the middle of the street and not even paying attention to the picks.
I mean, everyone likes Mike Mayock, and he was a nice guy when he worked with us, but if the Browns did this, if the Jets did this, it would have been laughingstock type stuff. And it's not a great look. And yeah, maybe he's interested in cars this summer in quarantine or whatever. I don't even know how they would know so much about that. But, like, you know, you have an entire pre-draft process to find out if the guy is a knucklehead. Apparently that they didn't, if that's indeed the case, they did a bad job on that front too.
Gruden gives up on mistakes and changes his mind emotionally very quickly. That happened all the time in Tampa. And they signed two veterans this offseason, Demarius Randall and Amukamara, one of whom got big money, guaranteed salary. They both didn't even make the team. I mean, look, the Patriots are like that too. They'll give up on guys quickly when they decide this guy is not for me.
I make a statement.
Yeah.
No reverse gears in this tank.
Dan wants to put Bill Belichick and Jadeveon Clowney into a car that's just going to careen off a cliff. I mean, when you're done with people, you are done with them.
You see those subway ads? You know, what an actor. I mean, what an actor.
Did you remember that old PSA, Mark? I learned it from watching you.
I think it was, yeah, I learned it from watching you, Dad, where the dad's like, why did my son start smoking at 16 while he has, like, his fifth cigarette in his mouth?
All right, two quick transaction things before we get to the sandwich props. Randy Gregory, there's a report out there that he's been reinstated. He hasn't played since 2018, but the Cowboys now have him in the building. I don't think he's going to play right away. There's an acclimation period, apparently. He'll miss at least 6 games. And the Giants are going to release cornerback DeAndre Baker, their 2019 first-round pick, 30th overall. Of course, he's caught up in a very ugly legal situation involving a robbery with a firearm. If he's convicted, it's a mandatory minimum sentence of 10 years. And when you factor in his legal issues and the fact that he was even caught up in this, the Giants are washing their hands of Baker. That's what's happening in the news. All right. It's time. Uh-oh. Oh, Ricky. Oh, you know what the people with that fake misophonia.
It is not fake. It is not fake.
Quadropenia.
Smarty pants.
How is it fake?
It's phony.
You don't experience it, so it doesn't exist to you. You tell me what we're listening to right now is not hideous. That is hideous to the ears.
You just throw a clinical name onto something, and then it's fine. Like, if people are pathological, then it's excusable behavior.
but listen, Mark. Honestly, Mark, listen. Misophony. It's right there in the title. You don't have to buy it.
You could have come up with a better name. But I will say that, like, one of my happiest aspects to, you know, working remotely is that I do not have to sit in that newsroom, and I can hear someone from 4 like rows of cubes away eating something.
Oh, I know. I stopped like bringing yogurts to work after I realized it was getting on Getting on Mark Strader. It's ironic, though, Mark, that on Friday on our broadcast, that you were the one that had, you know, one of the most troubling coughs into a mic, terrible. In which I think we learned what you had eaten for the last 14 days.
So because,
and everyone on the call and on the show was listening.
It was so bad that I like thought about it for hours after, and I sent a text apologizing. Then I'm thinking of all the people behind the scenes whose text, like whose numbers I don't have, and how much what I had done was I'm not some barbarian. I knew I had been dealing with a cough that day. I hit the mute button.
Yeah, you did it.
I thought that I muted, but I had been muted and unmuted myself, and then let out this hideous, disgusting sounding phlegmy cough.
Tell me more.
And then muted myself afterwards. What a disaster. I thought about it all weekend.
Sorry, Mark.
Why would you think about it all weekend, Mark?
Yeah, don't think about it.
This is the whole thing, Dan. Like, we're different. Greg. You talk about, like, and you're right, Wes, it is probably pathological to have misophonia, but I have, like, many pathogens or whatever you want to call it that others do not. It's not a great thing. It's one of the things.
I know, we're not all the same.
You know, right. Thinking about the cough all weekend is not something that you would do. You'd be over it in about 4 minutes. You love to make gross sound effects in general. So I felt embarrassed. It was not a good look. It was just like,
I'm really sorry I brought it up.
We are down a dark wormhole here.
Okay.
All right. So here we go. Go get my lunch. It is a game we love to play. We track it with the help of the great Nick Fortier, who for years now has run his own website dedicated to this particular segment, gogetmylunch.org, and it has everything. Every proposition we've ever made on this show in terms of predictions, sandwich props, and what does it mean, the sandwich props? It's not something we really pay out. Now we have an excuse not to do it because there's a global pandemic. But each of us makes a prediction, and then you can either choose to agree with the prediction or say, no, go get my lunch, and sandwiches are on the line, hypothetically. And I'll just give you guys a couple of quick notes before we get the predictions rolling. All-time standings, again, all this, thank you, Nick Fortier. Greg, first place, you've gotten 52.5% of your predictions / reactions correct. Dan behind at 52, Wes at 50.8, Mark at 46.8. But in Mark's defense, he does have the all-time sandwich prop prediction with the Nick Foles play, was it? What was it again?
Well, I mean, there's a lot to pick from, but that would be one of them.
He never got credit.
Oh, no, you got that one wrong.
The Baker Mayfield is going to take over in week 3. Yes. And lead a comeback or something.
That was
against the Jets.
That was insane. And in Mark's defense also is like, these records are now over like 6 or 7 years. So he had a first bad 3 years. So he's 3 years behind. It takes a while to climb that hill. It's tricky.
Right.
You were kind of a franchise that is like taken down to the studs, and you were in a deep rebuild, and now you're on the way up. And
you need them to press
finally,
refresh on those records at some point. Or
I'll get into that. I'm going to get into that website and see what's up with that coding and make some changes.
Scrub it. And finally, as we always do, before we make our official predictions, there are a few that pop up leading up to this time of year. And Nick, again, tracks all this stuff. So, for instance, Mark, you challenged us. You said Matthew Stafford is not on the Lions week 1 roster. Dan, Greg, and Wes all took you on that. Uh-huh. So you are already down 3 sandwiches.
Yeah,
really?
Well, you know, you got to go. I like to go.
You were pretty hot about
game.
That for a while.
I like to go for it and swing for the fences, and I pay for
part
that.
Of your,
but that's
part of your Lions about face this offseason, which has been interesting. Is you were very hot on that Stafford thing early in 2020, and now you've come to the other place where Stafford and the Lions are ready to do something special. I also had Rob Gronkowski plays in 2020.
Ooh,
so
I
got
about
three
that.
Sandwiches on that. So now Greg, Mark, and Wes all owe me one.
Good job.
Good. I'm off to 3-0 start. Now, I'm going to give some back, though, because I also said Le'Veon Bell is not on the Jets in 2020. Wes, you didn't take me up on that, but Greg and Mark did. So I'm 3-2 to start the season. Now, the predictions. I still think Le'Veon Bell might not make it to the end of 2020, but he's here to start the season, so I take the L on that one. Let's get it going. Mark, since right. you're always the wild card in this game, why don't you start us off?
I will, and this is something that I don't think I ever would have.
One more thing. Ricky. Ricky, you have time to prep. As is tradition, the producer gives us one prop as well. So
I'm ready. I got it.
All right, great. All right, go ahead, Mark.
I don't think I would have made this prediction a month ago because it would have seemed it was too shaky. But here it is. No games will be canceled in 2020.
It's always something.
Well, no, wow. I think that's it's we've never had a football season where that seems more possible. And you know, the future is a total mystery, but I'm going with no games canceled.
I know, but now you flipped it from like you're rooting for something terrible to happen to like making us have to root for something terrible to happen if we take on this completely realistic bet. I mean, a realistic prop that it's you could see it going either way, but I don't want to root for that, so I'm not taking that on. It's like, wait, yeah, I don't want to be pumping my fist when a bunch of people get COVID.
Well, I mean, abstain. You don't have to go from that angle, but okay.
Do we have to part?
I think.
Do we have to part? Ahead, postpone versus canceled.
Ooh. Yeah. What were the wording? What was the wording? Was postpone or canceled? Well,
my feeling was the spirit of it was that nothing would even be delayed.
So off of an original.
So
date of
so I'm not going to like I'll you know I know that people go back and listen to these recordings and type everything we say down, but I'm saying no delays, no cancellations.
Even if a game was scheduled Sunday and then they had a scare or somebody, so they pushed it to Tuesday at Ford Field instead at a neutral field, that would count to you as the season being postponed on some level.
Well, I don't like what I've just done here, but no, I'm going with clean slate across the board.
So it could be a hurricane too. We've seen that with some hurricanes.
No, like, can we make it corona related? Not like all right, corona related.
So now you really are making us root for corona. I mean, this is
the
ridiculous.
weather
related, election related. There's so many different ways to cancel sporting events these days.
Yeah,
I'm not taking you up on it, Mark, because I just want everything to be okay, and that's what I'm going to root for.
Well, that's fine. That
it's not
that
worth a sandwich like a, win.
That feels fine to me, Wes. I don't know where you came down.
I'm definitely taking this because no matter what I think, it has no bearing on the outcome.
So. Sure. But exactly. Mark is a huge fan of like you know climate change. He's just like
Brick and Dan are such wonderful human beings. Not to engage in the sandwich prop. I mean, okay.
No,
so
you know what?
Give me a break,
Wes. I've always kind of viewed you as something of a shaman. You put energy out into the universe, yes. Whether you realize it or not. I'm not putting that energy out there.
I agree.
Yeah. It's like one raindrop in a million, the way you're talking about this energy. I've seen what's happened the last 6 months, and what I think about the football season having a canceled game just means nothing.
That's Wes, fair. If you win this, I'm gonna shotgun a sandwich over to your house via Grubhub.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The courage that it took to take me up on that bet. I see it from over here in this house.
All right, Mark, you're up. I mean, Greg.
Again?
Okay. Let's do a quick one to get us going. You know, like a palate cleanser. Ouch. What are we thinking?
Insinuating that Mark did not get us going.
No, not saying that because I've got one. That, you know, I tend to go on a little bit. I'm looking at this, these bottom two boxes. We're taping this on video, too, in addition to the podcast. And it used to be the kissing cousin corner, Mark and Wes. But now they're more like the Josh Allen jabronis. That's what they are. Always defending Josh Allen. And so I'm going to do a Josh Allen one and say Teddy Bridgewater winds up with more yards this season. And you can include rushing too. Give a little edge there to Josh. Then Teddy Bridgewater has more yards than Josh Allen by the end of the season.
Air yards per attempt, or because that's only
doesn't
6.
Matter
2,
per actually. Attempt. Doesn't matter per attempt.
Rushing and passing.
I'm going to give you rushing. I'm going to let you count rushing, where obviously that helps Allen out a little bit. Teddy Bridgewater, a guy you guys have mocked and derided on this podcast for months, really.
Well,
and,
Greg
versus your guy.
I'm not. I might not take you up on it because I just don't want to put that energy out into the skies. Like how will Josh know? I'll take you up on it in a second.
Yeah, I'll take you up on it in a second too. I like that, and I've got my own Josh Allen one.
You're also involved. I just you are a you have been making a lot of jokes about Teddy too. So I guess I should have involved you as well.
I'm in.
Josh Allen. Yeah, Josh Allen will have more passing and rushing yards for sure. So. I'll take you on it.
I like it. I like this one.
You're going down with that Teddy ship, and I
respect
yeah,
it. I'm going to.
All right, Wes, do you want to dovetail and give us a little more Josh Allen fun?
I do indeed. One of Greg's little corporate mandated assignments last year was an article, like an MVP index by December, writing each week who's in the top 10 in the MVP race. Here's the prop. Greg's reviled Josh Allen finishes higher than Greg's beloved Cam Newton and Tom Brady in the final year-end MVP index.
Huh. Wait, but what if what if none of them ever make it, which feels like the most
Well, then logical. I lose because I'm lose. Counting on Josh Allen being on there.
To be fair, I think it, you know, the one I did was is only a top five. So that is being one of the best players in the league. Maybe I could extend it to Wes to 10 just for
Do take? Twice the work.
Just for this.
Yeah, I like that. I don't, know. Don't even put any comments. Just list five extra names.
That would make it more fun. I'd have to go check. I don't even remember this thing, but I'll take you up on it regardless because I do not. I clearly do not see him being involved in the MVP discussion. If he's in the top 10 of the MVP discussion, I've got some egg on my face. That's for sure.
I don't know. With Greg and gambling, it's already murky, and now you're going to add in him having control on this on some level. Like, I don't know if I want to be involved with this. I'm going to stay out of this one. I'm out.
All right.
Yeah, you know what, Dan? Like, that's very sensible. Greg is not going to want to lose that, and so if someone else is the author, maybe. But I'm going to hang away from this because
This is how you're in fourth place, Mark. He's giving you sandwiches for free. All you need is Josh Allen to not be an MVP candidate. Hey, let's make the top 20 like quarterbacks or QBR first.
No, I think he's going to be sensational. So I also just don't believe it with my heart. I think Wes is right.
Part of the reason for this was for Greg's integrity to be a topic on the show.
I'll put him in there if he deserves it.
All right, I'll take it.
Good angle.
I'm into. We're all in. Because sometimes this game confused me. I thought if Josh Allen was not a top 10 MVP candidate, I would lose, but that would mean I would win as well. So like multiple things have to go right for Wes to nail this, right?
Right.
Right. I should have kept my mouth shut, actually. I'm giving you guys easy sandwiches.
Or Greg, I should say. Who's again?
When Matt Barkley's starting in week 15.
Ouch.
I'm just kidding.
All right. I'm taking a different tack this year because what happens with Go Get My Lunch, same thing happens every year. It's so hard to get any of your predictions right. And then the way you stay afloat is by cashing in on other people's failed predictions. So like, I've now reached a point where I'm no longer trying to like figure out, ooh, this is going to trap them because this is going to happen. It's impossible to know. So I'm just going to do is pick the things that I want to see happen.
Yeah.
And maybe, again, all that positive energy just shooting out of the body.
I love the strategy. It was my Taysom Hill touchdown one from a year ago. It was fun to root for something good to happen. So go for it.
So how about this? Despite all evidence to the contrary, over the last couple of years that he's still this guy. How about Aaron Rodgers is an all-pro in 2020?
Wow. I'll take you on that. I would love to see it. And we'll give
first
you
or second team.
We'll give you second team. I was going to clarify that is a high honor just to be second team. So that would count. And even a tie on for the second team, which sometimes
I
happens.
Am really banking hard on the obviously nebulous Hall of Fame, you know, special player who's been, you know, slighted by his team and has something in the tank and something to prove angle. And I know I'm going to lose the sandwich prop because there's so many great quarterbacks in the league.
On huge onions.
It's an onion hanger right off the top for sure.
It's so hard to become an all pro, even if you have a great year, but why not? Why not? Rodgers at a motivation level he's never had at a crossroads in his career. He puts together something to like really put the Packers in a difficult spot where if he has a monster year this year and then they have Jordan Love on the second year of his rookie contract, which is gold currency in today's NFL, that puts him in a really hard spot. I think Rodgers is going to do it. And that's why I'm going to say F it. He's an all pro.
I love it. It would be a fun league to watch if Rodgers gets to that.
I agree. It's more fun when Rodgers.
My unemotional side is definitely taking you on that.
I will take you on it, but I like where you're going with it, and I see it as a possibility.
I will also say I'd love to see it, but I think Rodgers has too much baggage at this point. He can't go through 4 months without ruining it in some way and hitting a slump.
Yeah, well, you're probably right about that, but we'll see. All right, let's go through. We're going to go three props each. So, Mark, get us going round two.
All right, our friend Daniel Jeremiah will leave NFL Network not in disgrace, but with much praise after the season, becoming the general manager of an NFL team and never responding to any of our text messages ever again.
Wait, so if he gets the job, but he does keep responding to texts,
well, that's a little flavor on the end, because I'm not.
See, this is where, because we get in trouble with this, Mark. You have these great predictions, but you add these flavors, and then when they don't happen, you don't count them.
How about this?
He becomes
a general manager, and the spirit of him kind of like ditching us a little bit will be present. Now, will he send us a text message? Maybe, but like, are we still going to be palling around with Daniel Jeremiah? He will largely ghost us.
I love it. We need a date on this. How about, before we tape the Super Bowl, go get my lunch props, because this is getting murky that you're going so deep into January here.
Right, it'd be really late after Super Bowl. So I'm fine with it being Super Bowl, the end of Super Bowl 55,
even the prediction. Yeah, even the week before.
Yeah, the props should pay off before we do the Super Bowl show.
It's already annoying me that we know when we do the little recap right after the season, we're going to have to wait for this one. But DJ's gotten offers in the past, and he hasn't taken it because it's good to be DJ. He's got a lot of children. He's in San Diego, very stable job. I mean, it could be, it's not easy, but it could be more taxing. I think being a GM is a lot more taxing. So I don't think he wants to leave this.
Here's my thought on it. I can totally see him one day going back into the league in that role, but jumping straight to the GM, even with his scouting experience, I could see his buddy Joe Douglas hiring him as like a right-hand man for a year or two, and then maybe him leveraging that down the road to be a GM. But I'm going to take you not because I don't think Daniel could leave, because that could happen, but because that jump seems pretty big. So I will take you on that.
Well, it feels like a Mike Mayockian jump to me, and I think that people out there might think that Daniel
doesn't
Jeremiah,
happen a lot, though.
It doesn't, but it represents
it's also the Raiders. The Raiders are. That was a very Raiders move, which I didn't say. I don't mean that's good or bad, but like a Raiders team does that. Not too many teams would have done that.
It would be a little different.
I just want to commend Greg and Dan on their analysis of this, just unpacking the permutations of this prop. I mean, without 6 or 7 years worth of experience, I don't know we could get to this level of analysis, but you guys nailed it. And I agree totally. I think that at some point in DJ's life, this will become a realistic option. But I agree that because of the ages of himself and his children right now, I don't think he leaves for a GM job. And he is the oft-coaxed Daniel Jeremiah. I mean, this is an annual thing for him where they try to poach him from NFL Network. I'm not sure if he's ever been offered the GM job, so maybe that would be different. But I will take you up on it. I agree with the analysis put forth by my esteemed colleagues here.
All right.
Well, he's got to get to that second peak, like Weiss. It's the second peak when the kids go to college. Then you soar again. That's his time.
Or you pay for their college by doing this. College is not cheap.
All right. Greg, you're up next.
All right. I feel like LA gets a bad rap. It's like the pandemic hits and or people are just like, the traffic or, it's like I want to go back to my real home where there's seasons and stuff. Oh, LA, it's like phony people. Like, hey, how about love the one you're with? I love Los Angeles. This pandemic, it's brought me closer to it. This Hard Knocks. We're going to put the two Chargers and Rams.
Thank God for this pandemic.
Yeah, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying I do love L.A. the more I've lived here. And people thought this Chargers-Rams was going to be a snooze on Hard Knocks. And you know what? It's been interesting. These teams have come through, and I think they're going to keep coming through. So how about a little hometown spirit here? Both the Rams and the Chargers make the playoffs this year. And, my daughter, Ellis, who's a Rams fan, will certainly be happy with that.
It's very on brand. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it is. Both LA teams make it. Remember, seven teams make the playoffs in each conference this year, so that's going to help a team like the Chargers and the Rams, frankly, as what to me appear to be fringe playoff teams. You might get one, you won't get both, so I will take you up on it.
It feels like there are more fringe teams than ever this year. I think that's working against Greg, and I'm not buying the Chargers quite yet as a playoff team. Don't trust the quarterback. It's that simple. So I will take you up on it.
It's like, ooh, yeah. I hate this weather and the, you know, all the different cultures and the great food. I want to go back home to winter.
I find that most of the people that don't like LA are people that actually have never lived here.
Right.
And then it's okay. There's also a little bit of jealousy cooked in because they know how nice it is here. 120 degrees yesterday, notwithstanding. But I always thought that as someone who's now lived in LA for like 12 years, I get why people try to hate on LA. But people that actually live here tend to fall for it.
You warm up.
And I think we're all in the same place.
I've been here 7 years. Too. And a little piece of my soul dies every day in LA.
Wes, I do feel like you have more love for LA than you did in the first couple months when I would drag you down to Irish Times and you would make it very clear you weren't a fan of Los Angeles. Well,
first few years were full fear and loathing of LA, and now it's more just like mild acceptance that my soul is slowly draining.
And now, in a few more years, you'll be loved. Because here's the thing: you're going to have these beautiful memories with Link, and then you're going to think like, you know, that's my home. My family's my home.
This is misophonia from Wes, because I do remember the transition was difficult. And then I remember him saying on numerous occasions, right around the time when he was falling in love with Lakeisha, how much he was enjoying in LA and he feels like he found a home. And now you're ebbing and flowing, it seems.
Well, I think my number one issue with LA is stomping on people. Like, there's no real family here. People move from their families in other parts of the country, come here, put themselves first, and then stomp on everyone, measure themselves against everyone by the power dynamic in every relationship, and are suspicious of everything that does not involve 100% selfish interest.
Jeez. I mean, that author next door really must be giving you guys the business lately.
That's just how I feel about LA.
I don't know how we get the show back after that, but we're going to keep going here. All right, who's up? Is it
Wes? It's me.
Who just went? It's Wes. Go ahead, buddy.
And by the way, Greg, I will take you on that. I think the Rams are a playoff team, but I don't think the Chargers are.
Good.
All right. Scary Terry McLaurin, DJ Chark. One of the two will finish in the top five in fantasy points at wide receiver.
Who I'm going to take it regardless, but just for housekeeping, is this points per reception scoring or not?
No, we go by standard fantasy points.
Standard.
Points per reception is an outrage.
Okay.
Don't give these guys points for catching a ball.
Okay. Reasonable minds disagree. I think I would be in that. But
not reasonable, but okay.
But I'll take you either way.
Here's a backwards pass for 5 yards. Give him a point.
I love it.
Give him a point. Really hard to catch that bubble screen behind the line of scrimmage.
Red onion.
Chark would be amazing, but Scary Terry is the guy I think I could lose this on, that he could do it, but I'm going to take you on it.
The fundamental flaw with the prop here and why I'll be taking it is there are so many awesome quarterbacks in the league that are paired with great wide receivers. This is a Gardner Minshew, Dwayne Haskins wager as well on some level. And I just like many other tandems out there to put up those numbers. So I will take you.
I'll take it, Wes, but I think that we're being DJ Chark feels like he could do it. I think the Jaguars are going to be playing from behind week after week. Minshew, if competent, and I believe in Minshew, is going to they connected right away last year. DJ Chark and Minshew had big plays right out of the gate starting week one. So I think there's going to be big totals and a big fantasy year on a terrible team.
The quarterback point is valid, Dan, but there's a flip side to that. When you're easily the number one threat in an offense and there are no real number twos, number threes, and number fours, you're getting funneled targets pretty heavily.
That's true. That's true too, for sure. All right, I'm up. Like I said, things I want to have happen, and I know it's not likely, but the Jets enter week 17 with a mathematical path to the playoffs.
Well, I'll take you on that. There are seven teams making it, which is certainly playing into my Rams and Chargers pick. Rams would have made it last year, in fact, if there was a seventh team. And the AFC East could be so bad that 7-8 has a chance going into week 17. So you could backdoor it that way or any way you want. But I still personally see the Jets as one of the worst teams in the league and feel like the Bills have a pretty high floor. And that's going to hurt.
I will take it. I like the optimism and I really like it for Greg Williams to finally get a head coaching job off of like a 4-game win streak as the interim head coach. So, arrow up.
I think that there's every case to make that the Jets are going to go 4-12, including Adam Gase being so bad at this that there's some type of total meltdown by week 8. But just like to try to spin it optimistically, if the defense is okay, and as much as people are, including myself, have said that like Sam Darnold is not getting a chance, this year the offensive line is getting very good grades for people covering the team, that this could work and it's going to be a much better unit. And then while no one is going to confuse the Jets with a great group of playmakers, it's not terrible. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, Breshad Perriman, Denzel Mims, Jamison Crowder, Christopher Herndon, there are some pieces there. So then it becomes for me, like, do you believe Sam Darnold can get better and make the leap? And by this time next year, people will be like, oh no, he's the quarterback of the Jets. And I sincerely hope and also believe it. So this is a Sam Darnold wager for me more than anything else, that he keeps them interesting and in the mix because he will get better. We'll see if it actually plays out that way. Probably won't. All right.
I'll take you up on that. I think more chance of the Gase meltdown happening.
Yeah. All right. One more round. Let's hit it quick. Mark.
All right. Now, I want to remind you that in a very weird 2020, there were reports that bubbled up months ago that didn't even make headline stacks. Released footage of naval officers on multiple occasions encountering UFOs with no idea what they were. You can go find these. There's actual transcripts, all of it. And in another year, it would have been big news. It would have been a discussion point. And there's more stuff to come with it. I think that we are going to get some very surprising yet crystal clear evidence before this football season ends that, to go a step further, that the government will be forced to acknowledge interaction with life beyond Earth. And my prop is this, that there will be a moment where Bill Belichick is forced to answer at least one question in a press conference about his view on this and what it means. I'm going to go with one, but I think there will be follow-up questions too until Bill finally, spills the beans on how he feels about this. I know this sounds crazy, but
I mean, that would have been risky to go with the follow-up, but you're playing it safe now. Yeah.
This is based on the fact that this stuff is, these news reports are already out there. And so I think something more declarative, more crystal clear will bubble up and coaches will be asked, but I'm picking Bill Belichick specifically.
Well, thank you for like making it because it was going to be nebulous again and cause issues. But once you, it doesn't matter like how much we need to buy into it or whether it counts as something that's crystal clear, as long as Belichick is asked about it.
Right. And you don't have to believe it yourself.
It can't be you.
No. It can't be me. And you don't have to believe in the theories or the evidence yourself, just that Bill Belichick must be asked about it. I would imagine he doesn't believe it either.
Here, I just don't want to hear
Mark. You can't ask it either.
Right. I don't want to hear Mark Conkine, because if the following circumstance happens, our outgoing, hopefully, president, admits some contact with the aliens, but no one ever asked Belichick about it, you lose the prop.
I lose the prop.
And you don't start tweeting about it and saying like, oh, yeah, it was close enough. No, that's what it usually happens. But you need the question.
I've tried to make these less long and stuff and more, clear. And this is Bill Belichick needs to be asked. And no, Dan, it will not be me asking it. That would be pathetic if I had to get to Foxborough to ask the question.
No. And sign into the
world. You don't have to go to Foxborough anymore.
Zoom bombing. Well,
it will not be me asking.
I'll take you up on it. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
It feels more possible than ever, but I still will take you up on it.
If feel like it feels less possible.
Why does
possible.
Everyone think, yeah, what here's, is this that feels more possible than ever stuff?
Because
what did I miss?
We have an administration that has shown an active interest in this sort of content going back to before they were an administration and is kind of into it. So at least that, you know, that feels more possible than in any other previous administration.
Well, I think most years that I've been at NFL Network, Bill Belichick has been asked more questions than other coaches because of Super Bowl week and media night. And I don't think he's getting that this year.
Mm.
I don't think he's getting the question about UFOs either.
All right. So we all take you up on it. Okay. Mark, Greg.
Let me see. You got a couple left. This is supposed to be the onion hanging round, really. Although you've taken all.
You should have at least
mine.
One onion at some
you've
point.
You've taken you both of mine completely, but I'll go for the more interesting one because the other one's fantasy, grown. And you know that's Mark's corner now. I will just say the defending NFC champions and number one overall pick, I mean overall seed in the NFC a year ago, the 49ers do not make the playoffs.
I love it, Mark.
I missed them all around.
I love it. You have been hinting and poking at the Niners for about 3 or 4 weeks on the show. You've been hiding what's obviously a feeling from you that you're way down on them, but you haven't really come out and say it. You finally do that. They dive bomb out of postseason contention with an extra playoff scene in the mix too. Yeah. I got to take you up on that.
I mean, of course I can see the other. I don't feel that hot about it. Of course I see the other route. but I think it's more likely than people would give it credit to. A very deep NFC, a very good division. And I could see things going sideways.
It's a good one.
This one could go either way. I think I'm going to stay out.
Woo.
Ooh, wow. I'm taking you.
Wow.
That's going to cost you a sandwich, Wes, over at that great Santa Monica deli that Aline loves so much.
Bay I cities. Mean, every day a different 49er go down with an injury, right?
That's a bad know. Luck. That's a bad luck.
Recency.
It is. It's recency back. Bias. Absolutely. Absolutely. Admit it.
All right. Wes.
All right. Here's my onion hanger. Neither Drew Brees nor Tom Brady finishes the season as QB1.
Ooh. Neither.
Wait, what? Both?
It could be by injury, could be by benching.
Okay.
Wow.
I love that is it.
Not one
hanger.
Or the other. Not Either one or both. The other. Both.
Neither That's- one finishes the season atop the depth chart as the starting quarterback.
That's like four over 40 onion hangers. I don't know. A lot of onions.
I Wes, that's great. That's legit onion, and I'll take you on it.
I will too.
Because they've been two of the most remarkably durable quarterbacks in the history of the league as
well.
Well,
what would happen, if you,
early.
Put, what would happen if you put Peyton Manning out there right now? Sooner or later, the body right. fails.
Brady would have to get hurt. I mean, I can't imagine, no matter how bad he plays, them putting in Blaine Gabbert for him because of
Josh
performance.
Rosen understands.
No one's getting benched.
What if the Bucs are like 6-10 or you know 5-10 in week 17?
I could see like a crazy scenario where the Saints season went horrible, and look, I have them in the Super Bowl, so I don't believe this, but that they're 5-5 and Sean Payton calls on old Jameis in the bullpen. But that would be a wild timeline to be living in.
All right, so do we all take?
Yeah, yes, I'm taking that.
We all take. All right, finally, I have Kai Forbath, currently unemployed, hits a game-winning field goal in the final minute of regulation or overtime at some point this season. Not only does he find his way back to a roster, he should be on a roster right now. The Cowboys did him dirty on a number of levels. He will also find himself in a big spot and, most importantly, execute in the biggest of all spots late in a game when the team needs him.
Mm. I am taking you on this, and I think that you've tapped.
Wait, will you guys
into,
give me game tying field goal too, or does it have to be a game winner?
No, game winner.
What
game
about
winner,
an extra,
right.
What about an extra point?
No,
it has to be field goal.
No, I couldn't do that. I couldn't.
Got to go for it with game winner. Then when you do win this, Dan, like it's gonna look.
Yep.
It's gonna
Patriots
look
don't
great.
Have a so, kicker right now. They have two on their practice squad, none on their active roster. They did have that week with Kai last year, didn't they? Maybe they could give him a call.
Kai's been around. He's been around the block. But Kai gets signed. Kai wins a game. Doesn't have to win the game necessarily, but puts a team ahead in the final minute or overtime.
Yeah, sure. That would
All
be
right,
fun.
I'll take it.
That would be fun, though. Now I do want him back in the league just to see, like to be tracking this development in the final minutes of two teams that are way out of contention in December.
You got skin in
the game.
We're
going to have our own red zone. Kai Forbeth red zone. All right. Before we say goodbye, Ricky Hollywood, as per tradition, Erica, we always have a producer that makes a prediction, you know, and it's such a great tradition because Sydney. Oh, we miss Sydney. I hope everything's going well with her. She had some great predictions back in the day. She was so great at it.
Yeah, what were they? What do you remember from them?
There was one about Ezekiel. Who was it?
Ezekiel Ansah. You're right. Yeah. BYU. Oh, yeah, just like her. Erica didn't think we'd remember one, but we did.
That went terribly wrong.
I think a league-leading sack season, and it was such a great conversation, and we really enjoyed it. And now it's time for you, Ricky, to make your own prop.
Well, thanks for that, you guys. After rushing 462 times for 1,940 yards and 12 touchdowns during his 2 years with Washington, right? Adrian Peterson is now with the Lions, but the Lions have Kerryon Johnson. They have the rookie DeAndre Swift, who's a little banged up, but it could not be as bad as we think. And even, you know, Bo Scarborough. So here's my depth chart order. So Swift is going to be first, then Johnson, then Peterson. Okay. All that being said, Adrian Peterson will still have more than 500 rushing yards this season.
Look, she did her homework.
It's a good one.
Stepped up.
So the depth chart, though, has nothing to do with it.
No,
that was more just a little.
He's not going to be playing as much. Like
a lot of Bo Scarborough love on this pod, didn't it?
Yeah, I think he's even on the practice squad.
He's on the injured reserve right now. But 500 yards. That feels like a perfect over under.
It's a good one, Ricky.
If you were in the desert, where you would get about equal pick, equal action on both sides.
But
intriguing. I'll take you up on it because it just feels unsporting. I think this is your first one on me. Is it? I don't know. I don't remember last year.
I did one about Gronk coming back. Oh, but, my God. Didn't I say that?
No.
Well,
sorry,
we had to be last year.
If Nick Fortier doesn't document it, it didn't happen.
I'll take you. You got a good chance, I think. To either like win this by a lot or he's not on the team in week four.
I know.
It's one or the other.
Yeah. Mark?
I'll take you too. I think this is a great prop and he could help you out early on. I think he's gonna see a lot of work on Sunday and if they like him and Daryl Bevel knows him very well. And if he brings consistency to the Lions, he might get close to that number. So I'll take it, but I think he did a good job.
All day stays in the picture. Every time people write him off and say, oh, he has no path to playing time. Now Darius Geis isn't around getting hurt all the time anymore, but I still think he does. I think he comes close, but I'm going to take you up on it, in the spirit of the game, Ricky. And just, we have somebody that documents all this stuff. This is your second ever wager back in 2017. Ricky, you, said that Julian Edelman, after he tore his ACL, in a preseason game, you said he'd come back and play that season.
Oh, that's right.
And you got that wrong.
Yeah, I did.
That was where you were at that point working your way up the depth chart, the producer depth chart at NFL.com.
Yeah,
you were the
we had multiple starters. Yeah.
I love that it's a tradition that you have your producer, you know, give a sandwich prop every year, and this is my second one over the last 3 years.
I think you were on vacation. I think you took the weekend off, I believe. I'm trying to think. So
okay, then let me make up for the Edelman one.
For the record, I'm taking that one, too.
Okay, maybe you guys will go with this one. Julian Edelman had 6 touchdowns in 2018 and 2019 with Tom Brady, okay? And what year was Cam Newton getting all that MVP buzz? 2015, okay? In 2015, Edelman had 7 touchdowns, okay? God works in mysterious ways, boys. This year, Edelman will have 8 touchdowns with Cam Newton. Boom.
Exactly 8 or at least 8?
At least 8.
Oh, yeah, you helped her out.
At least 8. He's had 6 the past 2 years.
Yeah, you're putting me in a tough spot because I don't like going with stuff I want to root against, even if it mathematically makes sense. So I don't want to take you on this. I want to see them flourish. I want to see it be 12.
Yeah, this is easy. For the exact opposite reason Greg just stated, I am taking you on this. He's going to flame out just like the rest of the Patriots.
I'll take you on it.
I'll take it. I think it'll be funny if he gets 7 and then Cam Newton just rushes for the next touchdown.
I know. Throwing it to Edelman. Will be funny.
All right, there you go. Ricky, you're now on the books for multiple sandwiches. And yes, again, gogetmylunch.org to track all of this. And we will, like we always do, God willing, the couple days before the Super Bowl, we'll revisit this and see how we all did. Here's a little prediction for you. We're all going to do terrible. Yeah, a lot of optimism. And another reminder coming up on Wednesday, in addition to schedule's different now. So Thursday is the next time this podcast will show up because it will be the two shows on Thursday, the preview of week one, and then late Thursday night, early Friday morning, you'll get our recap of Texans Chiefs. But also Wednesday will be live on YouTube, Q&A and TNF preview. So again, check out Instagram and our Twitter handles for a link if you need one, but it's on the NFL homepage. Anything else, people? All right.
Nailed it. Stuff.
Fun. Fun show. All right. This is Dan Hansen signing off for Quiet Storm. The mailman, not the old man. The mailman. The old boss.
I'm the old man now.
Ricky Hollywood from West Hollywood. Till Wednesday.
I almost was going to say next free agency period, I will be out of the country again.
Okay. Same here.
I'm going to take my 2-week vacation during free agency
again. That'll be a good one.